Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 15, Number 4. In the last edition of Clinical Review, the title of my topic was PSN Number 31, Recipe for Health. Recipe for Health is the title of my first book in the Corey Hawley series, which is included in the PSN education program. Recipe for Health is my prescription for health. It includes 10 ingredients that are necessary to understand and apply in order to obtain and maintain optimum health. The 10 recipe ingredients include 1, clean air, 2, pure water, 3, fresh juice, 4, whole foods, 5, natural light, 6, physical exercise, 7, personal hygiene, 8, periodic cleansing, 9, adequate rest and sleep, and 10, nutritional supplements. These are the 10 basic steps that I live and walk by because they represent the logic of healthcare as defined by nature. They also parallel the wisdom of preventive medicine, which teaches that compliance to these principles will compress morbidity and provide a functional state free of pain and degeneration. On this edition of Clinical Review, my topic is PSN number 32, the Athlete's Food Pyramid. I designed this pyramid originally out of frustration mainly, especially after reviewing many other food pyramids and food guides, including the USDA My Food Plate, the Canada Food Guide, the Mediterranean Food Pyramid, and the Asian Food Pyramid. All of these pyramids, without exception, promote a tremendous amount of refined carbohydrate-dense foods, which tend to fatten people up through their effect on sugar and insulin metabolism and cause huge amounts of trouble with immune and brain function. If you want cattle to get fat quickly, you simply lock them in the barn and feed them a ton of grain, soy, and corn. But if you want them to stay lean, which is their natural state, let them roam free outside on pastures and munch on green grass all day, which is loaded with chlorophyll, enzymes, and micronutrients. And by the way, grass is free. The food pyramid I put together is designed for athletes engaged in the sport of life, which means pretty much everyone potentially. It allows a wide range of choice and freedom in natural whole foods from both plant and animal origin, but it excludes 100% of food associated with disease and degeneration. It also emphasizes dietary supplements and puts water consumption ahead of everything. Water isn't mentioned in any of the pyramids, except mine, and although water doesn't contain any actual calories, it is still something we must consume as a beverage in ample amounts. Having presence in the pyramid makes this point evident. The Athlete's Food Pyramid re-evaluates our nutrition priorities. It begins at the bottom and moves north up to the top. So the initial emphasis at the bottom is where it's at. The idea with dietary supplements implied here is that eating food alone is not enough to secure our biological needs. In simple terms, we need both food and supplements if optimum health long-term is the goal. We need dietary supplements not just to fill in the gaps, but to make our best food choices even better. The Athlete's Food Pyramid is color-coded into 9 different categories or compartments. It is compartmentalized with variation in size to help distinguish certain food groups from one another, as well as to establish the significance of one group over the other. The 9 different compartments include dietary supplements, water, freshly squeezed live juices, fresh organic vegetables, fresh organic fruit, low-fat wild tissue protein, cultured low-fat dairy products, peas, beans, lentils, legumes, whole grains, nuts, and seeds, and finally, fresh live oils and natural sweeteners. The food groups displayed in the pyramid are well suited to human genetics and human health, which is reinforced by ancient tradition, culinary history, nutrigenomics, and Paleolithic research. Like all animals in existence, humans require whole food from nature, but how much of what is relative to the individual based on the principle of biochemical individuality? A complete understanding of food in terms of quality, suitability, and compatibility also includes the comprehension of how to combine the foods in terms of mixing and matching, whether it should be cooked or eaten raw or both, and how to utilize the food in a judicious and logical manner. The amount of food chosen from any particular food grouping is based on the actual size of the food compartment as displayed on the pyramid. Ultimately, the single largest commodity consumed by us each day in terms of volume and weight should be water. And if you look at the pyramid, you can see that water forms the base of the pyramid and is the largest compartment. As you move up the pyramid, the quantity of food that you consume daily should ideally be based on the relative size of each compartment. For example, the majority of actual fuel coming into the body should ideally be from vegetables and fruit, with much more emphasis on vegetables, as in a 70-30 ratio. In this manner, we can derive more chlorophyll and ground minerals from our diet. And if we add some wild tissue protein to this, such as bison or salmon, for example, we will have made a solid effort in the direction of health. Grains, nuts, and seeds are minor but important players, as are peas, beans, lentils, legumes, fresh live oils like flax or hemp seed oil, and natural sweeteners like raw honey. Again, it's all about quality and quantity as it relates to your personal biochemistry, stress, and physical activity needs. Once you know the full story of food as it unfolds and how it's produced today, you can't help but shake your head or even get angry. Nothing is taught to the masses in food education about lectins, saponins, oxalic acid, phytic acid, and other anti-nutrients found in many foods produced through modern agriculture, or how fermentation and sprouting can improve food digestibility and reduce or completely negate negative food responses. In time, it becomes obvious that the original hunter-gatherer diet all humans once consumed by necessity provides many advantages over any diet that is strong in foods like wheat, corn, and soy obtained through farming and modern agriculture. The CHI Prime Directive is simple: supply your biological demand. For example, consume enough protein to maintain a positive nitrogen balance. To achieve this goal, consume protein in relation to the class you're in, including class 1, which is inactive or sedentary, class 2, which is aerobic and endurance, class 3 is aerobic and anaerobic and speed. That's like when you're running and weight training, for example. And class 4, anaerobic size and strength. You're doing aerobics, you're training for size, you're maximizing the intensity to facilitate growth. So your loss of nitrogen is greater and therefore you need more. Originally, the animal foods we once used as staples were all wild and lean. This is the natural state of a bison, elk, moose, or deer built entirely from nature and raw food. Have you ever seen an obese bison, an obese elk, or an obese deer? No, you've never seen it. They don't exist. Maybe in zoos they do, but not in nature. However, today we fatten up our domesticated cattle, turkeys, chickens, and pigs for taste and pleasure and profit, because to most people, that's all they care about, and that's what it's all about to the people that produce it. It's simply the weight of the animal just before it's slaughtered that determines its net worth. And with antibiotics, growth hormone, and even pesticides, it's possible to double and even triple the weight of a farm animal in very little time if you're not fussy about its body composition or health. In other words, in today's CAFO environment, CAFO, C-A-F-O, the acronym, stands for Concentrated Animal Feeding Operation, we're raising animals that are marbled with fat beyond compare and fatter than what is almost impossible to imagine. You know, I've wondered how fat a person could get before they literally explode. Actually, there's a relationship here between how fat the animals are that we eat and how fat we are, because we literally are what we eat. We're higher up in the food chain, and whatever we feed to our food animals eventually enters into our own bodies. But anyway, there's a real concern here regarding the toxicity of fat derived from commercial dairy products and domesticated feedlot-produced animal proteins. Most of the toxins, including pesticides, industrial carcinogens, dioxins, and other endocrine disruptors, petrochemicals, and the antibiotic residues, are in the fat because they're all fat-soluble. Keep in mind that the actual composition of fat and even protein in domesticated animals is quite different compared to the fat and amino acid profile in a wild animal. The fatty acid profile is substantially different, as is the percentage of saturated, monounsaturated, and polyunsaturated fat. All of these profiles, with health in mind, are superior in wild stock. In this regard, it might be wise to choose lower fat options for this reason alone if you're buying commercial animal proteins and dairy products. However, I think it's well established that fat is not our enemy. In fact, it never has been. And clean, viable sources of fresh, whole, raw milk from healthy, active cows and goats, for example, that roam on fields outdoors and eat grass are quite acceptable. In our past history regarding traditional indigenous people and whole foods, we would happily consume animal fat freely and gladly because it was a source of life-giving fat-soluble nutrients and energy. But the food game has changed today, so now we need to be flexible and adapt to our environment. We need to think about what we're eating and understand the biological consequences of cause and effect, Newton's third law. It's obvious to me that the USDA Food Pyramid and the Canada Food Guide both compromise science, although to their credit, after decades of much criticism and controversy, they are finally making some improvements. However, they still both violate many basic food chemistry rules if human health and welfare are the sole objective. What they do very well is promote foods that are in agreement with corporate national policies, political mandates, and private business interests. Of course, if profit wasn't the mandate of commercial food production on a global level, there would be no such thing as refined, processed, sterile, dead food that causes direct damage to our cells and genome through its direct consumption. If health was the objective and science was the method used to achieve it, junk food would simply not exist because an educated mind that understands the importance of functional health above all has zero tolerance for it. If the entire population on the planet was committed to growing, preparing, cooking, and eating whole food, as it once was before the dawn of agriculture and modern technology, corporations like McDonald's, Pizza Hut, Burger King, and KFC would not exist. They would all come to an end because if properly educated from birth and motivated to achieve total wellness for its own sake, people would never consume what we currently call food, knowing what effect this garbage has on our body chemistry and health. I mean, that's principally why I don't touch it myself. Fast food, junk food, and all processed, sterilized, refined food is toxic to the mind and body. And this is why education is absolutely critical, and how I know that education in the public school system has been compromised and sold out by the people who run it, who have allowed us and our children to be infected by corporate food terrorists and government incompetence, in essence, the food served in public school cafeterias and hospitals, for the most part, is disgusting. Use the Athlete's Food Pyramid as a guide or put your own pyramid together and come up with your own ideas. The Athlete's Food Pyramid is just a guide, but the emphasis is on fresh, whole, natural, organic food. For too long, people have been making stuff up as they go along without consulting reality, nature, and the natural laws that govern our health and biological makeup. Like it or not, we are products of nature. To consume anything less than the best is to compromise our potential for life extension and health span. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Denise Minger, author of Death by Food Pyramid. Asking the Department of Agriculture to promote healthy eating was like asking Jack Daniels to promote responsible drinking.